Hey y'all, it's time for some girl talk. Now, we recently had a conversation about interracial relationships and particularly how to navigate the people who are in the periphery of those relationships, specifically the mothers, the sisters, the cousins of the men who we are seeing. Now, there was one particular blog post that I wrote earlier this week that kind of went off the rails, but I thought it would be a good idea for me to do some commentary on Black women who are open to dating interracially, but have mistrust for non-Black women, particularly white women. First and foremost, I want to say this, that obviously I'm married interracially. I have a white mother-in-law. She has never had a Black friend, but she has been more of a mother to me than I've ever had in my life. So, and my sister-in-law, she's pretty kick-ass too. So I've been lucky in that regard. However, I know that that's not everybody's experience. I know not everybody is going to have these pleasant experiences, and there's often mistrust between Black women and white women for a variety of reasons, and I'm just going to name some at the top. There's none in particular order, but we'll just start with the fact that cultural communication and cues are often different for Black women versus white women. Black women tend to not be subtle. If they've got an issue with you, if they've got a problem with you, they, our culture sort of encourages us to confront those issues and not hide from them, sometimes in a productive way, sometimes not in a very productive way. Just culturally speaking, if we've got a problem with you, we're going to tell you. You're going to know. The cultural difference between, say, a white woman often that she's taught is that you are not so overt with things that are bothering you. You are more subtle with those things. And sometimes the way that you communicate your unhappiness or your distaste or your anger is through other ways that are often not picked up by Black women because that's just not our nature. I mean, I was raised by people in the country. Like if we had issues, like folks would, you would know. However, you know, experiencing in corporate America first, where I had the boss from hell who was completely, an education on how the cultural and social issues are different, opened my eyes. And it's kind of a hard language to learn. Like, again, just white women, I think, socially are not as confrontational. So we have that. Black women are more open, not necessarily aggressive, because I'm not aggressive, but if something is bothering me, I often want to communicate those things, whereas that's not necessarily something that translates well from someone who has a different type of communication style. So that's part of, I think, the frustration that Black women have with white women is that there's a different communication style. And because white women, just in general, because of the society that we live in, they are always given the benefit of the doubt. Even if they are wrong, if they cry, if they shed a few crocodile tears, then we're, you know, people are sort of trained to accommodate them or excuse them, even if they're wrong. And that's, for a Black woman to see that and to see that kind of disparity in the way that a white woman is treated, even if she's wrong, even if she was the one who did it, she cries and feigns outrage, and all of a sudden everybody's bringing the tissues over to her, and the Black girl is seen as the angry bitch. So that, I think, again, is the cultural confusion of communication styles. So there's that. And then there's also the issue of, you know, the standard of beauty. In Western countries, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes is the beauty standard. And that often translates to I don't even know how to say this nicely. A white woman thinks that she can just have all the men's. And maybe even be a little bit confused when a white guy, who she thinks, you know, every white guy in the world wants her because that's, you know, sort of what the media tells her, is interested in someone who is Black, somebody who looks like me, she's shocked. And it's sort of funny to see, but, so there's that. So you have the conflict confusion in communication styles and the way that they do that. The assumption that because of her whiteness, she's always the first choice. And then just moving on from that, there's just female competition just in general. I think women often compete with each other on a subtle level. And they may take snipes at each other and say things that are not nice. And that's an issue because, you know, Black women get frustrated because you're like, look, just tell me how it is. Like, you know, this is what's going on. You know, this is what you're saying. This is what you're doing. I don't like it. Let's talk about it. And, you know, the white girl will be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand why you're being so mean. Now, okay, so we talked about the white girl issue, but let's talk about the Black girl issue. Sisters, I gotta just be really real with y'all. You cannot be in an interracial relationship with a white guy and hate white women. You just cannot. It ain't gonna work. You cannot have this chip on your shoulder, and you cannot go into a situation fight ready and assuming that just because you're Black, you're going to have to deal with a whole bunch of microaggressions and bigotry. Because what's going to happen is when the person that you love, this man that you love, this white man or whatever, you know, race he is, Asian man, Hispanic man, but most likely I find that because, you know, the beauty standards are polar opposites. So we'll just talk about, you know, the white girl and the Black girl. So you think that if you go into the situation that you already have a defensive stance. Like, you may not think that you do, but it will show on your face. You will give an energy that you don't even realize. Without even opening your mouth, you give an energy of defensiveness, and that's not going to go over well, because the guy who is in love with you and who is wanting to share his family with you and his life with you and the people who he loves, he's going to experience a lot of stress if the women in his life whom he loves, which is you and his mom and his sister and maybe his best friend from college, cannot get along. And so I'm going to be perfectly honest with you right now. Here's how you're going to have to play it. You cannot play it by Black folks' social norms. You are going to have to go in with that corporate attitude, that corporate facade that you learn to get along and to, you know, be positive and to judge people individually and not be fight ready or combative. And when I say fight ready and combative, I don't mean like you're getting ready to, like, you know, put Vaseline on your face and throw up your dukes, but just be combative in your mannerism or in your body language or in your commentary. So you are going to have to, and believe me, it can be hard. It's going to be something that maybe you're going to have to go into a closet like I am right now and take some deep breaths. And you're going to have to practice something called mirroring. Nobody else will tell you this. And I'm telling you this because I care about you and I want it to work out for you. You're going to have to practice mirroring. And this isn't necessarily a white thing. This is just a communication tactic to put people at ease. Politicians do this all the time. So you find out the level that your audience is. Like, you do your homework. You know who your audience is. You know who you have to impress. You find out what they like, what they dislike. What are things that you can't talk about? Like, red light, don't even go there. Or things that they love to talk about. And you go in there ready with information about all of the wonderful things about this person that you can find out. Do your homework, but also mirror. Practice mirroring. So that means that maybe you, sort of adopt the mannerisms of the people who you're around. This is something that we do all the time. This is like, you know, what do they call it? It's called like... it's like code. I mean, Black folks do it. You know, it's like learning two languages. Like, when we're around Black people, we know we can act a certain way. But when we're around, you know, in a corporate environment or around white people, maybe we switch a little bit. For me, I was always raised around white people, so there is no switching. Like, this is just me. I mean, I get people who comment and say, why does she talk like that? Why is she trying to, you know, make herself sound like that, or her voice sound like this? You guys, this is my voice. This is who I am. I'm sorry if that puts people off, but this is who I am. So there is no, you know, switching between back and forth. If I try to sound like, you know, I don't know, the girl around the way, it sounds fake. Like, this is me. This is me, and take me or leave me. So I want you to go into a situation when you know you're going to meet the women in your man's life, armed with information that will guide the conversation so that it's a pleasant experience. Practice mirroring, look it up, understand, you know, what it means, and then also check your defensiveness. So make sure you're not going in expecting something negative. And then finally, make sure you talk to your partner about cues that maybe if things are getting really uncomfortable, maybe you tug on your ear or you give him a look and he knows that maybe you guys need to step away for a second and have a powwow, or just you take a break, and then make sure that after the meeting that you guys talk about it, and that you talk about, like, you know, just how the event went, how he felt about it. And yeah, so that is my advice. But the bottom line is that if you are looking to be in a relationship with particularly a white man, you cannot dislike white women. You're going to have to put those issues aside. And you're going to do it because you love the guy that you're with. You know, I've had my moments. You know, things weren't always great. You know, I do mention it in my book, Swirling, that the first meeting with his family was horrible. But these people are my family. They are wonderful people now. And I'm glad that I gave it a chance. I'm glad that I made the choice to give them a chance to get to know me. And that's what I want you to do. You know, it just depends on how important it is to you. How important is it to you for this relationship to work? If you're with a good guy, chances are he was raised by good people. And you need to give the people who raised him a chance. And you got to give the women in his life whom he loves a chance too. That's the only way that it's going to, you know, set things off on the right foot. And then maybe move things a little further along. Okay, if you guys have questions for me, you can reach me at Crystalyn, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-L-Y-N, at beyondblackwhite.com.